Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a podcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from thousands of successful individuals from around the world. I'm your host, Ashutosh Garg, and today I'm privileged to welcome a very senior corporate leader from Paris, France, Mr. Malcolm Staves. Malcolm, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Thank you. Malcolm is the Global Vice President for Health and Safety at L'Oréal in France. So Malcolm, before we talk about health and safety and diversity, equity and inclusion, tell me a little bit about your own journey.
Well, our journey goes back quite a few years now. So I started leaving university as a chemical engineer, working in heavy chemicals, construction industry. Eventually, I was a plant manager in a UK site, and we were sold, right? We were sold to a different company, and the consultancy came in to do the due diligence, and I refused to let one of the guys on site because he had a beard. And that particular guy was so upset. He went all the way up to the CEO, et cetera. But eventually he came on site. A few months later, the environmental consultancy invited me to join them. So I switched from production, plant manager, et cetera, into environmental consultancy. And eventually I went to my number one client, which was a company called American National Can. And I took the first site worldwide to what was called, what is still called ISO 14001 of all industries combined. I have a saying that, you know, sometimes people remember the first place, but they don't remember who came second or third or fourth. And from that company was owned by a French company, and they brought me into health and safety. So I have no health and safety qualifications. I have an engineering background, production background. And been very, very successful. And from that company, which was called Pechenet, to an organization called Alcan, eventually the cosmetics giant L'Oréal headhunted me. And I ended up going from heavy chemicals, metal, and all the rest of it into the cosmetics business. And I've been here with L'Oréal now for 15 years, and I'm enjoying every single minute of it.
How wonderful. What a great story. So, Malcolm, you're also known for what's called your hummingbird approach.
Oh, yes.
What does this mean? And help me understand with an example.
Yeah, no problem at all. The hummingbird is a South American fable story that goes back centuries and centuries to, I think, the Inca kind of period. And it's all about a forest fire. All the animals rush out, but the hummingbird goes to the local river, takes up a drop of water, and goes backwards and forwards to try and put the fire out, and has no impact. And the other animals are in awe about it, and they say, well, you're crazy. What the heck? What are you doing? You know, you're having no impact. So the little animal says, well, I'm doing the best I can. And it goes beyond that, because eventually the animals start to do the same, and together and collectively, they put out the fire. So it demonstrates for me marginal gains. Every act, no matter how small, from no matter who, has an impact, right? And it's all also about leadership of care, because the hummingbird, the little animal, cared. Now, an example of that, quite a concrete one for the environment, not health and safety, is very often when people brush their teeth in the morning, right? They let the water run as they're cleaning the teeth. So if between needing to clean the brush, you switched off the water, put it back on to clean the brush, that would be a little bit of water that you would personally save. Brilliant. But if 10 people did that, or 1,000, or 10,000, or why not 1,000,000, that is a significant difference. And together, collectively, through marginal gains, we can make an impact on no matter what. It's not just a health and safety thing, but and it's the way of my life. It's a way of life for me.
What a fascinating story, and what an amazing kind of an approach you have told all our viewers and listeners. Every drop, when counted together with millions of drops, makes a stream. Thank you. So let's talk about you as the Global Vice President, Health and Safety of L'Oréal. Tell me a little bit about the kind of work you're doing to be able to expand health and safety across the whole continent, because L'Oréal, as you said, is a global giant.
Yeah, and I feel very privileged to have this sort of job within L'Oréal, and also been in a company whereby we're allowed to be curious, we're allowed to expand things. And in health and safety, we're quite centralized, which is very often goes against the grain of what many companies are doing. But we believe that every life counts, no matter where that life is. And therefore, why should you not apply global standards across the board, whether it be in India, China, France, or in the United States, or in Latin America? So we have a very centralized approach to health and safety that allows us flexibility to adapt to local culture so it works. So it's no good me turning around, for example, on a behavioral-based safety program and saying, this is the way you do it in India or in China, if it doesn't work for the local culture. So you need to give the local culture adaptation, but the framework is what we put in place. Right. We also, I've done my job for 15 years now, and we are the only company, to my knowledge, that has a cultural transformation journey and strategy only for health and safety. And all my sites, all our sites within L'Oréal have been on that journey now for 10 to 15 years. The strategy changes, updates every 5 years, but we're all on the same journey. I can take somebody out of our sites in India, put them in the United States, or even put them in Australia. The framework is the same. The methods are the same. And it's producing good results. We have a very, if we don't talk about performance very often, but our performance is good. But what's more important is we have a culture of care. And we have now got people all over the world through our Safe at Work, Safe at Home program, going out and giving back, giving to society, taking safety and health and well-being to their families and other companies. We benchmark with many, many companies. And we share shamelessly.
Fantastic. And how does L'Oréal's commitment to health and safety set it apart from so many other companies, not just in the beauty and personal care industry, but across all major multinationals?
Wow, that's a loaded question. And there's not one easy answer.
Sure.
One of the things that I think has been a benefit to L'Oréal is the fact that we've had the same person in charge for a lot of years. So very often, like with other companies, if you change people every 3 years or every 4 years, they come with their ideas, the new ways of doing things. We've been on the same true north path for 15 years when it comes to health and safety strategy. And it's all about putting our people in the center. And what we found is by doing that, we get passion, we get commitment, we get engagement, and you can move the world with that kind of approach. And as a result, we have good safety performance. I mean, don't get me wrong, we also have the technical aspects, you know, the guarding and all the rest of it that you need, that kind of foundation.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, it's all about being human. And it's all about understanding that people in the health and safety world, you and I will someday make a mistake. Not on purpose, right?
Yeah.
But the question is that going to result in you being injured or not? And what we have to do, we try to do in L'Oréal, is get into the minds of every single person, no matter where they are in the world, and make them realize that I don't want them to work safely for L'Oréal as a priority. And now you're wondering, why is Malcolm saying that on the recording? I want them to work safely for their families, for their loved ones, so that they can spend the money they earn when they work for L'Oréal where it really matters. And if you change that conversation so that they have a sense of purpose and they realize that I need to be safe for my family, then they will work safely because it's right for them, not because L'Oréal's asking for them to be. And like for in India, very often, and I'm quite happy to play this card because in the sense that people need to find their own reason for working safely. Very often you have, in India and many other countries, we have enlarged families. You look after mothers and fathers, grandparents, cousins, and all the rest of it. Sometimes the person working for L'Oréal is the only breadwinner, the only person bringing in income. That is more than enough of a reason for me to work safely to protect yourself.
Well said. Great response. Thank you. My next question is on, you know, the 3 years that the whole world has spent handling the COVID-19 pandemic, that must have put some serious pressure on you, Malcolm, because as the head of health and safety, you had to make sure that your flock around the world was protected. What steps did you take to ensure that you've come out so well after the massive challenge?
A number of things. First thing, just to let you know, we were caught with our pants down, right? We collected masks, gel, aprons, gloves, etc., and we sent them all to China. We believed it was going to be contained like previous, pandemics in
Correct.
China itself.
Correct.
And then it came to the rest of the world. And we're very quickly, we went into crisis mode at corporate level. And because we are centralized and because we have an excellent network of EHS professionals, what we did was we created the standards, the instructions at group level, and we deployed globally, right? Once we knew it was coming, we deployed them globally so that when a country went into lockdown or it was getting close to lockdown, our sites had the instructions. They didn't have to think about it, reinvent the wheel. And that reactivity by using a very enabled network of health and safety professionals was probably critical in us continuing to, and I'm going to say produce, not necessarily to sell. We transformed within a very short period every single one of our 39 manufacturing facilities into manufacturing gel, which we then gave, obviously for free, locally to hospitals and local, I'm going to say local markets, because the amount we were building, we were making of gel, etc., was not sufficient for globally, but we could make a difference locally. It's the hummingbird, again, if I can say.
Absolutely.
And we were recognized by the World Business Council for Sustainable Development and several other organizations of having a very efficient system. Some companies would say, well, we left it to the local sites because they know the local culture, the conditions. Yep, I understand that. But we gave a light at the end of the tunnel. We didn't have our sites thinking about what they needed to do. They just had to do it. And an example of something where we were significantly able to help as well, we purchased many, many thermal cameras at really on the onset because we thought it was a way of detect of identifying if
Correct.
people had it at the COVID or not. It wasn't a definite, but and we bought them in Europe or over the world, and we shipped them to all our sites. So it was a work together. So our contribution was central and key at the corporate level. And honestly, I don't know if any of your people listening are health and safety professionals, but typically that network of professionals in any organization is amazing and very effective and efficient at deploying systems and standards, etc. And we just used that and
Amazing.
it worked well.
Amazing. Thank you. My next question, Malcolm, is what role do environmental sustainability and ethical practices play in L'Oréal's health and safety policies?
Oh, wow. I'll start with the ethical bit first in. I alluded it earlier about the fact that for us within L'Oréal and for me personally, a human life has the same value no matter where it is in the world.
Correct.
And if we were being very honest with everybody, we know that's not necessarily always the case in the countries, right? So you see differences in legislation with respect to health and safety. But in L'Oréal, in those areas whereby there's a life behind it, so we could have a fatality or kind of accident, or even an irreversible accident, we globalize and standardize at the best. So, for example, in Europe, there is something called the ATEX regulations for explosions and hazards and controlling them. We apply them worldwide. China, South Africa, South America, North America, because it is a good standard. We apply for fire protection, for example. That can vary from country to country. And in some countries, you don't need to have a sprinkler system. We apply the American standard, NFPA, it's called, National Fire Protection Agency. We apply their standards worldwide. So ethically, I think a company should, especially like a L'Oréal multinational, should apply best standards worldwide because the value of life is the same wherever it is. Now, we then have other programs that we globalize, right? That are non-technical. Because, like, when you protect from explosions, it's very engineering technical. We have other ones that are very culturally orientated, like leadership, walking on the shop floor, talking about safety to people. And that we allow our adaptation to local culture. And so it's a little bit more bottom up. We give the frame, but there's a lot of flexibility within the frame. And ethically, I struggle sometimes. I see many other companies don't have that kind of approach, and I wonder why. I wonder why you would not put the best of the standards globally, and I think also from the health and safety point of view, it comes down to what I call safety by design, or ergonomics for design, or health by design. You can get in there right at the beginning, and we're not perfect, but we're on that journey to try and do that, because that's the way you can have an impact. And if I can, we can wait for local legislation. We can wait for governments to put frameworks, legislation in place. But
Correct.
I could not live with the number of people that might just die or might just have a serious accident because the legislation or the government practices or the government requirements framework
Absolutely.
wasn't at the right level.
Well
So
said. Well said. Thank you.
there's a lot of ethics and safety.
Absolutely, I agree. And my next question is that how important is employee education and engagement when it comes to maintaining a culture of health and safety?
You cannot have a real culture in health and safety without it. I mean, the people are the heart of everything that we do. L'Oreal or any other company does not, it is only as good as the people that work for it. And it's the people at all levels, right? And so training of employees, we have a number of training programs. We train all our senior leaders, go through what we call leadership and safety culture training. So it's not about safety leadership, it's about leadership and leading the whole, whereby you cannot be a good leader if you don't lead safety or through safety. And we do that with a place called INSEAD, which is in Fontainebleau in Paris. We have a training, which we, L'Oreal, founded. We then have training for all line managers to align them with the methodology, but also to say, look, how in today's world do you use these, as well as do all your other jobs as well? Because you need to find, it's not necessarily a balance, but you could be the best safety company in the world, but if you're not making any profit, you're not giving return to stakeholders, your company may disappear and all those people are out of work. So you've got to find that right balance. But also training the employees so you raise their awareness about safety. Now, you mentioned health and safety culture, et cetera. The programs we put in place when we look at transforming our culture is to develop a risk-searching culture. I want you as an individual to be able to see a risk and react to that risk,
Correct.
so to avoid an accident. So that's important. And our training and our programs are actually training of the mind as well. We're very much into heuristics when we design, and cognitive bias when we design our systems, so that we have what we call the right tool at the right time. And this is, how do you get leadership to be visible and felt in health and safety? But then how do you get employees engaged and involved so that they can contribute? Because at the end of the day, it's not always about training per se, like how do you do a lockout tag out. It's about training the mind to see risk and to see things differently, and looking for the leadership in everybody, not just the leadership in the management, right? It's a long journey. The training's important, it's vital, but it's not the end of it, because you have to change the neurons and the way they see risk as well. I don't know if that makes sense, but
No, it makes a lot of sense. And I think you're articulating these things so clearly now. So I'm going to move to a few questions of diversity, equity, and inclusion, and how you handle them when it comes to health and safety. So my next question is, how does L'Oreal's commitment to diversity and inclusion factor into your health and safety initiatives?
It's again, it's vital, it's fundamental, it's part of the jigsaw, it's part of the puzzle, and it's important because I'm going to sort of transfer this into a question. How can you possibly understand or represent the people that you're trying to protect and serve in health and safety if you don't understand the culture? Because we're not wired, and people are not wired and think in the same way between different countries. So why should we send an Englishman, for example, to be driving health and safety in India, right? So what we do in L'Oreal, we we identify, we develop local talent. And my health and safety people in India are from India. They understand the culture, the challenges, etc. And the same wherever you go in the world. So I'm a great believer that you cannot serve the people you want to protect unless you're as diverse and as inclusive as them, which is a challenge, right? Which is a challenge.
Correct.
And then you can ask yourself the question, well, what does diversity mean? Because some people very often think it focuses on gender equity, gender equality. But, you know, it can also be different cultures. It can also be age as well, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, diversity in itself is a very diverse word, and you could take anything into it. Absolutely. And I mean, I read a little bit about the great work you do on diversity and inclusion. It's phenomenal. So I have time for two more questions for you now. My next question is that what is L'Oréal doing to foster an inclusive environment for employees with disabilities, ensuring their health and safety needs are met?
It's a number of things. I mean, it's primarily an HR driven subject across the globe. And again, it goes, you need to be, people with disabilities need to be included, right? They have as much of a right to work, etc., as anybody does.
Absolutely.
And I think we think in L'Oréal that all companies should have the same approach, right? L'Oréal, from what I see and what I benchmark, tries to go out of its way to be inclusive, to bring people in. But to do that, it's important that the managers, the people that are already working there, understand the challenges of the people that you want to bring in, you know, the people that have special needs, etc. And that in itself is not easy. You know, it's not easy to put yourself in the shoes of somebody else. But L'Oréal across the board is trying to make a difference. And I think it does well to be open to diversity and inclusivity in the wider sense. And also, I'm going to be very, very direct as well. I mean, it's even though it makes sense internally, it also makes sure that we understand, and this is not health and safety, our customers' requirements as well.
Correct.
Because you can't be an able-bodied person and understand what somebody's going through if they spend their life in a wheelchair. And recently I've seen that we've developed even tools that people that cannot keep still, you know, they're shaking their hands all the time, so a lady could apply lipstick. Right? Things, little things like this, it's like the hummingbird again, are so important, that a life changing thing. So L'Oréal's pretty good. And in health and safety, as I said, we're extremely inclusive and diverse, but we need to, because they're the people that we're protecting.
Absolutely.
We need to understand the people.
Absolutely. And my last question to you, Malcolm, and this is to you as a very senior corporate leader, and this is for the thousands of people who will listen to our conversation, based on your own amazing journey, and as you said, from being an engineer to leading health and safety of such a global organization, what would you say are three lessons you would want a lot of our young viewers and listeners to take away as they embark on a career in the corporate world?
The first thing is, I would say, don't forget your roots, right? I think part of, if we can say, my journey has been because I've remembered my humble backgrounds, you know, and where I came from and the challenges. Never, don't forget your roots. The second thing that's been really important, I think, in my journey, and some may say success, but I prefer sometimes to think that I've been lucky enough to be in the right place at the right time, is the power of networking. Right? I network with my peers in other companies. I network with people that don't even work in this industry because I'm inspired by these people. And there are little bits of the programs in L'Oréal that we've put in place over the last 15 years that, I'll be honest with you, I've stolen with pride, if that's the right word, or borrowed with pride from other companies through my networks to the benefit of the L'Oreal and the people that work for L'Oreal.
Correct.
And the third thing I would say is that, you know, and maybe this is something that I've grown into with time. In my early career, I was interested in more money, people working for me. You know, I had that kind of drive.
Yeah.
I think now what's important is to give back. I think we can all make a little contribution, no matter how small, right, to society, to our networks, and just reach out. And, you know, it feels good to give.
Correct.
Right. So they would be the three things that I would say, you know, start your, even no matter where you are on your journey, you know, give back. Give back to the profession, be curious, and be generous.
Very interesting. And on that note, Malcolm, and your three wonderful lessons, don't forget your roots, remember the power of networking, and the third one, give back. And as someone else told me, be a giver, not a taker. Thank you so much for speaking to me about your own incredible journey. Thank you for speaking to me about so many different aspects of health and safety at L'Oreal. I think you opened my eyes to many, many new things that you are doing. Thank you for speaking to me about diversity, equity, and inclusion that you are handling in your function, and not just for employees, but also for customers. And I think that was such a powerful example you gave me. You know, I was expecting the highest of standards from a global organization like L'Oreal, and I think you've exceeded my expectations. Thank you so much for talking to me, and good luck to you.
Thank you very much. It's been a real pleasure. I really enjoyed it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.